Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, Description of Mystic Yoga Perfections, Text Number 23. 24. Pasya pitya gudam pranam.
Pasya pitya gudam pranam.
Vridhura kanta murdhasu. Arupya Brahmarandhena
Arupya Brahmarandhena
Brahmanit Vutsrijetanam
Brahmanit
Vutsrijetanam Parasnya
Parasnya
with the heel of the foot Apidya
Apidya
blocking
Gudam
the anus
Pranam
the vital air, carrying the living entity, Prit, from the heart, Udaha, to the chest, Kanta,
to the neck,
Murdhasu,
and to the head,
Arupya,
placing.
Brahmarandrena
by the spiritual seat
at the top of the head,
Brahma
to the spiritual world,
or impersonal Brahman,
or any other destination one has selected,
Nitva
leading the soul,
Utsvijet.
One should give up,
Tanum,
the material body.
The
yogi who has achieved the mystic perfection called Svachanda Mrityu blocks the anus with the heel of the foot and then lifts the soul from the heart to the chest, to the neck, and finally to the head. Situated within the Brahmarandra, the yogi then gives up his material body and guides the spirit soul to the selected destination. Purport, this mystic opulence of Svachanda Mrityu, or dying at will, was wonderfully exhibited by Bhishma Dev at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the term Brahma, as used in this verse, is an example of Upalakshana, or the use of a general term to indicate various concepts. Brahma here indicates the particular destination selected by the yogi, namely the spiritual sky. The impersonal Brahma Jyoti or any other destination that has attracted the yogi's mind. I'll read text 25 also, there's no purport to this one. Viharishyan sura kride matstam satvam vibhavayat vimaneno patishtanti satva Vrittihi, Surastriyaha. The yogi who desires to enjoy in the pleasure gardens of the demigods should meditate on the purified mode of goodness which is situated within me, and then the heavenly women generated from the mode of goodness will approach him in aeroplanes. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Pyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupagada Mahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Swachanda Mrityu, dying at will. So here it is explained how one who has achieved this mystic perfection can select the time at which they leave the body. Swachanda Mrityu. Ordinarily one is required to suffer or enjoy the fruits of one's past deeds in the allotted time that one's given in this body. But if one has achieved this perfection, Svachanda Mrityu, then one can leave the body following this yoga practice of fixing the consciousness in the Brahmarandra and then meditating on that destination that one aspires to. One can leave the body. You know, there's a picture of is it the perfection of yoga? It's got the picture of the yogi. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. It used to be on the cover of one of the books, The Perfection of Yoga. You have this sort of like an emaciated yogi, you know. And then it sort of shows him bursting out of the top of his head and going to... I think this is why Prabhupada wrote the book, you know, Easy Journey to Other Planets. I was always shocked by looking at that picture from my analysis of things. It didn't look very attractive, this idea of, you know, performing this yoga system, yoga practice, and then sort of leaving the body at will. And of course the example is given here of Bhishmadev, who is a good example, because Bhishmadev was filled with arrows after the battle of Kurukshetra, and he waited for the auspicious time. He waited for an auspicious moment. So this is the idea. The yogis could find an appropriate time when one could take advantage of the auspicious influences, the auspicious conjunction of the planets or whatever. In that particular case, he was waiting for the sun to begin its travelling in the north after it had come to the south, right? And that was a long time, because the Battle of Kurukshetra started, the last Ekadasi, wasn't it? Is the Battle of Kurukshetra started? If that's the day that the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, right? And the Battle of Kurukshetra went for 18 days. So that sort of gets you up to the end of December or thereabouts. But the sun doesn't actually start travelling into the north for some time after that. So he was staying in his body for, you know, some days after the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra.
Middle of January.
So he, you know, was able to sustain his life force, the life airs, and his existence in that body up until that point in time that the auspicious moment arrived and he was able to take advantage of it and then leave his body at that time. This is an example of how that, of course, as it's mentioned here in the previous verses about the yogis who are able to enter into the bodies of others, enter into the bodies and the minds of others, just like it's mentioned there, like a bee can float from or fly from one flower to another. The yogi can enter into the existence of another person. Not that they leave their body necessarily, but rather they can enter into the bodies and into the minds of other personalities and experience what they're experiencing, right, from their own body, if you like, a bit like a ghost. But a devotee is not attracted to those things. A devotee is also not necessarily attracted to leaving their body at a particular time. Because for Bhishmadev, he chose an auspicious time wherein which he was able to take advantage of that to gain an elevated position. But we can understand that Bhishmadeva was already an eternal associate of the Lord and a pure devotee. So he didn't actually have to wait for such a time. Krishna mentions in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, whatever state of consciousness or state of being we happen to be in at the time of death, then that location or that situation is where we'll be taken by the laws of karma, by the laws of action and reaction, whatever we meditate on. And so for the pure devotees who are always engaged in devotional service, the destination for them is always going to be auspicious. They'll always be carried to a situation or to a location where they get an opportunity to continue on with their devotional service. It's like Arjuna mentions to Krishna in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita how, you know, I may be a transcendentalist and not be successful. And because I've given up all of my material pursuits, I'm not successful on the material platform, and neither am I successful on the spiritual platform. And so therefore I'm lose-lose situation. But Krishna says no. Win-win situation. Whatever advancement we make in this lifetime as a result of the performance of devotional service, then in the next lifetime we'll get an opportunity to take up where we left off. And Krishna gives the example. A devotee will be born again in a family of wealthy, mercantile family, or born again in a family of transcendentalists, of devotees, and will be then naturally attracted to the principles of yoga. They'll automatically be attracted to the practice of devotional service, and then in that way they'll be able to capitalise on the progress that they made in their previous lifetime. They'll then be able to take up where they left off, and they'll naturally be attracted to those devotional principles. So for a devotee who's always engaged in devotional service, then they're not particularly worried about what their destination will be, because they know that ultimately Krishna's the controller. Was it? Bahir Nishringo, Ridaye Nishringo. I'm within everything and I'm outside of everything. What is it? Yantra Rudhani. Was it? Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Ishvara Savabhutanam. Riddesha Arjuna Tishtati. Brahmayan Savabhutanam. Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. So we're all situated on this machine made of the material energy. It has both its gross and its subtle forms. And whilst the gross form of the material body may disintegrate and fall away, the subtle form carries us into the next, to the next destination. And as the devotee meditates in this lifetime, as we meditate on devotional service to the Lord, as we meditate on Krishna's transcendental features, characteristics, attributes, his pastimes, and as we engage in those pastimes, especially for the Sankirtan devotees and even the members of ISKCON who engage always. Actually, Prabhupada said, you know, we will have ISKCON in the spiritual world. It's interesting. I see ISKCON is described, as Prabhupada mentions, ISKCON is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. So in one sense, the activities of the devotees, the Sankirtan activities of the devotees, are an extension of the Sankirtan activities of Lord Chaitanya. They're not different. And so as we absorb ourselves in the devotional service, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridabrataha, with strong determination, the devotees are engaged in devotional service, beginning with the basics, you know, our sadhana practices, hearing and chanting, remembering the Lord, then engaging in the various types of service, and especially in the service of Sankirtan, then one's consciousness becomes absorbed in basically Krishna. Especially for those who are engaged in the practice of Sankirtan with a goal for benefiting others. You know, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no one more dear to me than he who speaks this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita to the devotees. So those who are absorbed in devotional service, and especially absorbed in the Sankirtan Jagya, if you like, then they experience that rasa or taste of service, and they actually enjoy it. It's actually a pleasure derived from the performance of devotional service that can't be experienced anywhere in the material world. Can only be experienced in the performance of devotional service. And as a result of that meditation, of that absorption in service to Krishna, and the relishing of that rasa, or that feeling of satisfaction that comes when one serves Krishna, and serves Krishna in such a way that Krishna is pleased, then that mood or that meditation carries one into the next lifetime, where one gets an opportunity to then engage in more and more devotional service. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, you know, we shouldn't be acting in such a way that we're thinking, you know, how can I see Krishna? But rather, he recommended we should act in such a way so that Krishna will be seeking out us. And when one engages in activities that are pleasing to Krishna, then Krishna is naturally attracted to his devotees. And he blesses them with that taste, if you like, or that relish of the engagement in devotional service. So the devotee doesn't particularly worry about the destination that he or she will achieve at the time of leaving the body, but rather one engages in devotional service in confidence that, in the confidence or in the satisfaction, knowing that Krishna will, you know, Krishna will protect us. Krishna will look after the devotees, especially those devotees who sacrifice their life airs, if you like, their prana or vital force, instead of, you know, sticking your foot into your you know, and then sitting down and having to do all of the breathing and this and that and the other thing, which requires focus and concentration and attention. So we put the same focus, concentration and attention into performing the basic activities of devotional service and get the same destination. Well, actually get the destination of going back to home, back to Godhead, basically. That's the focus and attention of the Vaishnava, of the devotee, rather than, you know, what is it? Any particular destination selected by the yogi. Like it says here, or any other destination that has attracted the yogi's mind. And the devotee is rather, rather than selecting, you know, here's where I want to go or there's where I want to go, the devotee is more inclined to embrace the meditation that, you know, Krishna, wherever you want me to go, then I'm happy to go there. That's called surrender. And we shouldn't underestimate that, you know, because time to go to work, huh? It's the boss calling. I noticed you've been distributing quite a few books, Simon. Very good. No, not you. He's Shyamananda, isn't he? He's humble. So, you know, and it's interesting, you know, since it is, it's the we've started the marathon, and it's book distribution is the focus of the marathon. And I just happened to be reading the Lilamrita, where the chapter's called Distribute Books, Distribute Books, Distribute Books. Right? And Prabhupada encouraged the devotees, especially the devotees who were going out and selling his books. Prabhupada encouraged them. And, you know, ostensibly book distribution is basically selling. You know, you're trying to sell people something and you're trying to get some money. And it could, by, you know, any estimation of the activity, just be misunderstood as being a material activity. Just like, you know, we're cleaning the floors, we're sweeping the courtyard, we're putting out the rubbish, we're organizing and managing things. If you look at these things from an external perspective, then it just looks like, you know, the ordinary activities of material affairs. But Prabhupada told the devotees that actually no, cleaning the floor of the temple is the same as, you know, dressing the deities, massaging the form of the Lord. And the external manifestation, say a book distribution, masks or covers actually the internal activity which is really going on. And even though it appears as if it's just some mundane or some material transaction taking place, actually it's not. Same with prasadam distribution. You know, we're handing over a plate of food and somebody's giving us some money. It just looks like from external point of view, it looks like some material, ordinary activity. But the activities of the devotees are not ordinary activities, because there's also the spiritual or the internal understanding of what's actually going on. And in book distribution, what's actually happening is this transference of knowledge, of spiritual knowledge especially, and it's the engagement in service to the Lord which makes that activity transcendental and spiritually potent. Very important to not just see the externals, but to understand the spiritual activity and the spiritual exchanges that are taking place. Actually, these symptoms of, you know, loving exchanges. What is it? Tadati pratigrinati guyamakyati pichati bhunkte bhojayate chaiva sadvidhim priti lakshanam. These are the symptoms of actually loving exchanges. Giving in charity and receiving. Right? So the devotees are giving transcendental knowledge, and they're also receiving reciprocation from others in the form of their donations. And as a result of this transcendental exchange, then people get an opportunity to become elevated in Krishna consciousness. So it's not just a same with taking prasadam, bhunkte bhojayate chaiva, right? Giving prasadam, receiving prasadam. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita how when we take prasadam, because that foodstuff is the remnants of jagya or sacrifice. Jagya shishtana sam, what is it, santo mucchante salva kilbishai bunjate what is the third line? Anybody know that verse?
Tell me.
Bunjate te tvagam papam ye pachanchat makarana. Yes. By taking the remnants of foodstuff that's been offered in sacrifice, it can remove many sins, many sinful reactions are removed just by taking prasadam. And Prabhupada mentions how it nourishes the finer tissues of the brain so that people can then think about spiritual topics, think about spiritual affairs. So the devotees aspire to become absorbed in these activities, and the essence of those activities, which is offering everything ultimately to Krishna. When one is absorbed in that, in devotional service in that way, offering everything to Krishna, then one is not concerned about what one's destination will be, because one knows automatically Krishna will protect. So one, the focus and attention, the concentration that the yogi puts into sitting properly and controlling the life airs and so forth, that concentration, focus and attention engaged in devotional service gets the same result. In fact, a better result. Because if you're guaranteed to make progress in spiritual life and eventually get that opportunity to enter into the spiritual realm. Of course, a yogi can do that also. But then There's also that, as is mentioned here, you know, these yogic siddhis can actually be distractions. And if one's not purified, if one's not pure in heart, then one may be distracted to, you know, stick around in the material world and go to, you know, explore the material world rather than get out, be released. So we're moving into the business end of the year, right? In one sense, which means more book distribution, more prasadam distribution, a lot of hard work, basically. But we shouldn't see those activities, or we should certainly make sure that those activities are underpinned by a strong understanding of the spiritual meaning and the spiritual purpose of what we're doing. It's not just a material, mundane activity, but rather those activities are engagement in devotional service. And as Krishna mentions, Neha Bikrama Naso Sti Pratyavayo Navijate Sval. What is it? Yes, just a little bit of advancement. Su'alpa. Svalpa means just a little bit of progress can save one from the greatest type of fear, which is for the people that we come in contact, if we can give them a book, if we can give them some prasadam, then that helps them make that little bit more advanced. But what to speak of the progress that we make in pleasing Krishna, in attracting Krishna, which will automatically secure our futures in devotional service. We don't have to worry about it. So that's our, if you like, that's our means or method of meditation, so that we can get to, you know, that final destination, and solid engagement in devotional service. So does anyone have any comments or questions at this point? Mahatmaji.
Thank you for a very nice lecture. We could have made sure that Lord Krishna is also there.
What was that, sorry?
Vishnudama.
What was the first part that you said? Bhishmadev. Yes.
Made sure that Lord Krishna was present when he was leaving body.
Yes.
That's another thing. It is very important. How much devoted he was, completely dedicated.
Yeah. There's a lot to be learnt from that pastime. One of the reasons why Krishna went to see Bhishmadev was not only to bless Bhishmadev, obviously, because he was his devotee, but was to have Bhishmadev expound, you know, the teachings delivered to Maharaj Yudhisthira, so that Maharaj Yudhisthira could understand what the real purpose of the Battle of Kurukshetra was for. But yes, it's a fact. Krishna was so attracted to the character and the qualities of Bhishmadev that he actually was present when he left his body.
My second comment also was about prasadam, what you were telling.
Prasadam?
Prasadam.
Yeah.
The other day, I tasted the prasadam made by Vaishnava Prabhu.
Yeah.
In Indra Swami's program.
Whereabouts? Whereabouts?
In the
St. Kilda.
St. Kilda. So beautiful prasadam. Who made it? Tell us what that she told me.
Yeah.
So he had done such a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Especially in this temple, such nice prasadam. I had one question, and that was when. It is written here, leaving the body. Can the yogi see, go to Krishna Loka?
Why not? It says here he can.
But a yogi is not a devotee. So can the devotee go to?
Well, if the yogi is a devotee, then that's what he does. It mentions here, Brahma Randrena, Brahma Nitvotsvijet Tanum. And here, And it's mentioned in the purport actually, Brahma. According to Srila Sridharaswami, the term Brahma, as used in this verse, is an example of upalakshana, or the use of a general term to indicate various concepts. Brahma here indicates the particular destination selected by the yogi, namely the spiritual sky, the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, or any other destination that has attracted the yogi's mind. So, certainly he could use it for elevation into the spiritual realm.
And yes. In the last moment, when Srila Prabhupada made such a great sacrifice, he had made a window for us in the spiritual world.
Yeah, that's why we shouldn't underestimate or minimize the importance or the potency of devotional service.
Yeah.
And neither should we underestimate or minimize the devotees. Because, you know, Bahunam Jamanam Mante Gyanavam Mam Prapajate Vasudeva Savam Iti Samahatmasudu. You know, a Mahatma is one who accepts Krishna as everything and then surrenders to him. And so the devotees who are engaged in devotional service, who have accepted Krishna as their life and soul, they're special persons. Even if externally they don't, you know, may not have been around for a very long time, it doesn't appear to be very advanced, still one who's surrendered to Krishna is considered to be Mahatma.
There is a song going on when you go to India.
A song?
Yeah, very nice song. What you mentioned, same thing. That Krishna, wherever you direct me, I go.
Yes.
I am ready.
You are ready.
This is the total surrender for me.
Okay. Yes. Who is ready? Who's ready to leave the body and go wherever Krishna wants us to go? Ooh. Otherwise, you know, it's interesting. If we have material desires, then those desires will carry us to another location in the material world. Of course, because we've performed devotional service, then we'll get again an opportunity to take up devotional service. But what will hold us back will be those material desires. Yes.
Krishna describes various devotees, and at one time they
leave. Yes, he does.
Arjuna starts becoming very anxious, and then Krishna says, "You don't have to."
Yeah. Yes, just remember me. That's the potency of devotional service. We don't have to wait till the sun turns around and goes. Bhujmadev did that as an example, to set an example. But, as you mentioned, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna sort of makes it easy for the devotees. Okay, I think we'll finish here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.